CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, watching Peru. The pandemic in 2020 hit Peru very hard. People left the major cities to work because you work to eat. The election just concluded was meant to be a capstone to a rough year, to begin again. Stable government. It hasn't happened yet. The election was very close. There are challenges and there are distinct camps. So, Mary, a very good evening to you. Right now, the leader in the count, which is ongoing because of challenges, is a man named Castillo, a former school teacher, I believe, who is very colorful, wearing a huge sombrero and waving to people. What do we need to know about Castillo? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think that Castillo, as you say, he was a teachers union leader, is not someone who rides a horse or wears a sombrero, but when they decided to make him a candidate for this election, they put a hat on him and stuck him on a horse. And he's been had a lot of appeal to the rural areas of the country, which feel they've been left behind in the progress that Peru has made in the last 20 or 30 years. But he's also, being coached by people on the very hard left. And so a lot of his rhetoric has been extremely incendiary and frightening to many Peruvians, because he talks about not just, democratic socialism, but destroying the constitution, holding a constituent assembly to write a new constitution, which, of course, has been the path to tyranny in Venezuela and Bolivia and Nicaragua. So he's a very radical candidate, although it's hard to tell whether it's him personally who has these ideas or that he's being, coached to, speak in this very fiery manner in order to really rile people up.
The election counting so far is close, 40,000 votes, and there are many challenges, chiefly in the person of Keke Fujimori, who was the other major candidate within 40,000 votes of Mr. Castillo, the daughter of a former leader of Peru who is jailed for his corruption. What do we need to know right now about the Keke Fujimori's challenge? What about her character is important in these days ahead?
Well, Keiko Fujimori has a whole record of being accused of being corrupt and so forth. It's very hard to know exactly how much is genuine and how much is trumped up. I mean, she, on the one hand, she's been in politics, Peruvian politics, which is very corrupt. But on the other hand, her father was someone who defeated the Shining Path, opened Peruvian markets, and made a lot of enemies along the way. So I think that, Peruvians will tell you that the press in Peru has spent, 20 years basically with a narrative that she's a very terrible person, trying to destroy her, and a lot of that is because of her father. I really don't know if she has corruption issues. But I would say in this case, the reason why there are so many people behind her, including people who never liked her, and I think the Peruvian novelist Mario Vargas Llosa is a good example of that, because he really disliked her father. And yet he's come out supporting the idea that, we need more transparency in this election. And the reason is because this Castillo character is a very scary guy. And then the other reason is that there are a lot of uncertainties about how clean this election was. And I know that the international press keeps saying that this is just Donald Trump on steroids, challenging the transparency of the election. But there is a process whereby you take, challenges to the court, and they're supposed to hear them. And for some reason, they haven't heard them, and they're trying to throw them out on technicalities. And I, for one, as I wrote in my column on Monday, I would like to see those challenges, because if they're authentic, then maybe those votes should be thrown out. And if they're not authentic, then Castillo should be considered legitimate. But I think, when an election is this close And there's a request for, and she's not asking for a recount. She's saying that we have evidence with these very specific cases of tally sheets that came in, that smell fishy, places where, you know, the vote went overwhelmingly for Castillo and it doesn't really make sense. And, places where the officials at the polling station who signed, are not authentic people in some way. You know, lots of doubts like that. And I think, you know, if it's a very narrow election, which it is, I think that, in the interest of legitimizing whoever won, they should make it more transparent. And it's interesting that there's a real reluctance. And of course, there's a reluctance on the part of Castillo and the very hard left, like the Foro de São Paulo, which are all these lefties around South America. But it stuns me that, you know, you have people in this country, including the U.S. State Department, that doesn't seem at all interested in transparency, which is kind of a joke.
Vladimir Cerrone, who is he and why is there a concern about his presence?
Well, Vladimir Cerrone is a medical doctor who lived 10 years in Cuba and was trained in Cuba. And he is the guy who's the head of the party of Castillo. It's a party called Peru Libre. And Cerrone was a governor at one time, but got kicked out for corruption. That's why he himself is not a politician anymore, because he got thrown out. But he has very radical ideas. I mean, you can look at his Twitter feed. You can listen to him. And every time Castillo, you know, some people on one side of Castillo tell him, listen, tone it down a little bit. Cerrone is on the other side saying, no way, you know, we're going to nationalize everything. We're going to, you know, it's going to be the French Revolution. And that's disturbing to people, not only because obviously if you've done well in Peru, you don't want your head on a spike. But the other reason is because the liberalization of the Peruvian economy for the last 25 years has been extremely effective. I mean, you look at the poverty rates, they've just fallen sharply. And so has infant mortality and, you know, all kinds of other measures. There's been an enormous wealth creation. Now, that's not to say that there weren't parts of the country that were left behind. That's for sure. And, you know, people that are still, you know, suffering things like not having access to water and these kinds of things. So there are legitimate grievances. I don't dispute that. But to tear up the whole model, which has really given such good results to the nation as a whole, I think would be an enormous mistake.
Nationalize everything. There's another player here. That's China, which in your column you report owns a great deal of the mining industry that's made Peru prosperous, or at least market prosperous. What does China make of this nationalize everything? Would the Chinese be partners with Castillo, having lost all those assets?
Well, you know, as I was sort of suggesting in my column, he says he wants to throw out the foreigners, but you can bet that means the Americans, the Canadians, the Swedes or whatever. But I highly doubt he's going to throw out the Chinese, because he's going to find the Chinese to be a very pliable group of so-called investors. And you don't have to look very far to prove that point, because it's precisely what's happened in places like Venezuela and Bolivia. I mean, the Chinese don't care about human rights. They don't care about corruption. You know, they want their foot on in the hemisphere, and they'll get it there any way they can. So I'm sure that Vladimir Cerrone and Pedro Castillo would be very happy to work with them, because they'll provide the capital and they won't ask questions. And that's the kind of model that the hard left wants in Latin America. They don't want a transparent, accountable system of government.
Mary, just 30 seconds. Is there a timeline that makes sense to resolve the conflict?
I don't know. It's really up in the air right now. I mean, the international community is not going to Peru's side.
Okay.
It's very funny, because they spend all this time complaining about human rights violations in Nicaragua and Venezuela. But then when it's happening right in front of their eyes, they have no problem seeing the country go to a tyranny. And so the Peruvians are fighting this out on their own.
To be determined. Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor, Wall Street Journal editorial board, This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.